churches pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your love. We thank you for his life. God, as we continue to sing, we pray, Lord, that you're glorified today. We pray, God, that our hearts and our minds will be centered on what matters, and that's you. And that you came. God, as we open your word, help us see who you are, why you came, and what that means for us. So, God, we give you this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, Merry Christmas. Man, it's been a good night so far. I love seeing the kiddos up here. I love Christmas Eve candlelight. I always have. When we first got out here, we did the candlelight service out in a park, and that was nice until we had a few years where the wind was like a monsoon coming through, and it rained on us a couple times, so it's good to be in here, although today is a beautiful day out there. But it's a special time for us to come together to sing, to hear the Christmas story from God's Word, and to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus. I want to say thank you for being here. I want to say thank you to our guests. Maybe you're here from out of town, or maybe you live right here in Tucson in this area, but you're visiting Authentic Life for the first time. It's an honor that you're here. It's an honor to have each person here today as we worship Jesus and celebrate Him this Christmas. If you have your Bibles, you can open them with me to Luke chapter 2. If you don't worry, they're going to be on the screen as well. But I want us to pick up where we left off. Justin just read for us about the birth of Jesus in the first 7 verses of Luke chapter 2. And then in verse 8, Luke introduces us to a group of people who were not too far from where Jesus was born. They were right outside the city, and this is where this moment takes place. The verses, if you are a cartoon fan, the verses that we're about to read are the same verses that the famous Linus read from the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Anybody watch that so far this year? No? Hey, y'all need Jesus. Y'all got to watch that, right? But he tells us what Christmas is all about. And so as we look at these verses, our aim is for us to see why Christmas is so important, why it's important for each one of us, and why we worship Jesus this Christmas. So let's begin in verse 8, right after Jesus was born. It says this, in the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Before we go any further, I want us to look at these shepherds a little bit to see who they are and what they're doing. You know, we often sing about shepherds in our Christmas songs. We see them in our Christmas shows. But for us in our culture, we don't have a great understanding of who these shepherds were and what they faced. But I think it's important for us to understand these shepherds so that we can get a better view of what's going on this very first Christmas. To be a shepherd in their day, in their culture, was to be at the bottom of the social ladder. To be a shepherd was to be poor. To be a shepherd was to be looked down upon. As a shepherd, you faced harsh conditions because you were outside throughout the year doing your job. You were surrounded by whatever weather there was, and you were surrounded by many different animals. And we often think about one in particular, young people. That's like kids, so just, right, young people. What animals do shepherds look after? I'm sure there were cow there, but sheep, right? There's sheep. And when we think about the job of a shepherd, when we think about this shepherding the sheep, I think we can describe their responsibility with 3 words. The first word is pursued. Shepherds pursued their sheep. As they took care of them and watched after these sheep, it was the shepherd's responsibility to pursue them. Sheep are really known for wandering away from where they're supposed to be. If you have a 2-year-old, you can understand, right? They are known for walking away from the flock and running away from their shepherds, so they're wanderers. Sheep are also known for making bad decisions because they're really not very smart, right? And as they wander away, they're constantly getting themselves stuck or hurt or in a lot of trouble. And so the shepherds pursue them. The second word to describe the shepherd's job is protect. The shepherds were responsible to protect these sheep. And so they pursued these sheep so that they could protect them. They would go out to find these wandering sheep, and when they found them, they would often pull them out of whatever trouble they got themselves in, whatever place they got them in, they would pull them out. But they also went out ready to protect them against predators. Sheep unknowingly would walk out toward danger. And there were wolves and other animals who were looking for an easy meal. And so the shepherds
went out to protect me. And they protected them when danger came into their own camp. These shepherds would get in between the sheep and the predator to scare it off or to fight it off. So it was their job to pursue and to protect these sheep. The third word to describe the shepherd's responsibility is provide. They had a responsibility to provide everything that these sheep needed. They provided leadership. They provided a way. They provided protection. They provided care. They made sure they had food and water, and they knew when to sleep. We often picture sheep as this cute and cuddly little animal, but in reality, these animals are stinky, dirty animals constantly needed to be cleaned. Sheep are not very smart animals, and they're always getting themselves in trouble, constantly putting themselves in harm's way, and they really had no way to defend themselves except to run, and then they weren't very fast. And so sheep are creatures that really need a shepherd. And these shepherds, they worked all day, every day, to care for, to pursue, and to protect, and to provide for the sheep that they were over. And here in Luke chapter 2, right after Jesus is born, these shepherds are out in the field, under the stars, just doing what they always do. And then in verse 9, it says this. It says, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And so to help us picture this, I need a little help here. In just a second, the lights are going to go off. Young people, it's okay. Like, just hang on a moment, and just for a second. The lights are going to go off, and then I've asked a few of you to be the stars. I've asked a few of you to use your phones to shine your light to help us imagine being in this moment. So here we go. You guys ready? Let's turn those lights off. I can't even read. Didn't think to do that, did I? Goodness. There we go. I got my light on. It's dark. There are no city lights. They might have had a campfire. They're sitting under their stars. Got a few stars shining around. Just for a second, let's pretend that we're out there with these shepherds, listening to kids talk to the sheep. So it's not just like a shepherd, but we're just pretending. And then all of a sudden, the lights come back on. That's your cue, light people. There we go. Thank you. There we go. You're in darkness. And then all of a sudden, this bright light shines, and you have an angel of the Lord standing before you. The glory of the Lord is shining around you, and they were terribly frightened. I think this next part of the verse is funny. Listen to what the angel says. Behold, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I just imagine the shepherds saying, sorry, Mr. Angel, sir, it's too late. If you give me a moment, I'd like to go change my pants and collect myself here for a minute, right? But don't miss this. They were basically in darkness. And now they're surrounded and really overwhelmed by this light from heaven. And listen to what this light means for them. Listen to the news that the angels bring to these lowly, rejected, and poor shepherds. It says, behold, the angel says, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then just imagine this scene in verse 13. And suddenly there appeared not just one, but with an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. In this moment, these angels just told us what Christmas is all about. Just like Linus said, right? They give us this news, right? They gave this news for the first time to these lowly shepherds. Now remember, these shepherds didn't have much to their name. They were poor. They weren't invited to the New Year's Eve parties. They weren't asked to come over to hang out and watch the football games. They weren't expecting a year-end bonus. They didn't have a summer vacation they were looking forward to. Church, these shepherds didn't have a whole lot that brought them joy. Maybe you're here today and you would say, I can relate. I don't have much going on in my life that is bringing me joy right now. You may be sitting here today and said, this year has been full of sorrow and pain. But right after Jesus is born, these angels come to these joyless shepherds and they say, hey y'all, I bring you good news of great joy. This is what Christmas is all about. This is why Jesus came. The birth of Jesus, Christmas, means that there is now good news which brings great joy. It was hard for these shepherds to find genuinely good news. Church, it's hard for us to turn on the TV or the internet and find good news. Amen? Right? You have to wait for the one good news story out of the 50 bad. But these shepherds, they were surrounded by bad news, and now they're being told by heavenly beings, I have good news for you. And here's the thing, we're going to see here in a little bit that this good news might not have been the good news that they would have picked for themselves. They might have picked the good news that, hey, we're going to be appreciated and welcomed into society. Maybe they would have picked the good news to be that they were going to get a raise or they were going to get a new or better job. But the good news that they're about to receive is the good news they so desperately needed. And then they found out that this good news of great joy, this good news is available for all people. The good news that we're about to hear about isn't just for the kings and government officials. This good news isn't just for the rich and famous. This good news isn't just for the upper and middle class. It is also for the rejected, unappreciated, poor, and lowly ones. We see in Scripture that this news is also for the sinners and the tax collectors. It's for the Jews and the Gentiles. It's for the pretty and the ugly. It's for the tall and the short. It's for those who seem to have their act together and those who do not have their act together. This good news is for those who have and have not. This good news, don't miss this, is for the religious and those who aren't religious. This good news is even for you and me. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how much you have or don't have, this good news is for you. And then don't miss this. These shepherds who are surrounded by darkness, both physically and spiritually, they're about to hear the good news. And here it is. A Savior has been born. But here's the funny thing. The people of Israel, the people that were expecting a Savior, they were looking for someone to save them, but they were looking for someone to save them from the Romans. They were looking for a military Savior. They were looking for a political Savior, but they got the Savior they needed.
We got the Savior we needed on Christmas. Church, more than needing a political or financial or military Savior, we needed a Savior who would save us from ourselves and from our sins. We needed a Savior who would come as a baby, but then purposely make his way to the cross where he would intentionally give his life in our place. We needed a Savior who saw that we were separated from God for our sins. We needed a Savior who knew we went out on our own and we got stuck and now we're in harm's way, destined for hell, separated from God, and there's nothing we can do about it. And Jesus was the Savior, the only one who could rescue us. He's the only Savior who could make it possible for us to be forgiven of all of those sins, even the ones others don't know about. He's the only Savior who could bring us back into a relationship with God. He's the only Savior who could defeat your sin and death and Satan by dying for us and then rising again, making eternal life with Jesus possible. Friends, it's important to know that what all of us need more than anything else in this world, more than we need money in our bank account, more than we need a new job, more than we need a new car or a house, we need a Savior. A Savior who came to do for us what we could not do on our own. And on Christmas, we celebrate Jesus, the Savior who came. The next part about this good news of great joy is that the Savior, he is the Christ. And here's what that means for you and me. Here's what that meant for these shepherds. This means that our God keeps his promise. God promised them hundreds of years prior that a Savior was coming. He was called the Messiah or the Christ. Same word, one's in Hebrew, one's in Greek. He is the Messiah, he is the Christ. And here's what that title means. He's the one that God promised. It means he's the one that's coming from God who will reign and lead and shepherd his people back to God. Jesus is the Christ who was promised to be our rescuer and our Savior. When Jesus was born, it was the biggest reminder to us that we can trust God. And the promise is that Jesus came to rescue, to rule, to lead, and to shepherd his people. And then we see that this good news just keeps getting better. Because when Jesus was born, we see that he is not just anyone. God didn't send a powerful worldly man. God didn't send us a politician. God didn't send us a military leader. God didn't send us a celebrity. God didn't send us an influential person, right? He sent us. He didn't even send us an angel, church. He sent us Jesus, the Son of God. That's what Christmas is all about. He is the Christ. Jesus is Lord, church. Christmas is about the one who came to rescue us, to be with us, and who was God. Remember, Jesus has the name Emmanuel, which means God, help me out, with us. God with us. Jesus is in Lord, is Lord. Jesus is in charge. Jesus is the greatest leader. He is the God who loves you and came for you, even though we sinned against him. At Christmas, we celebrate that our Savior is the same one who created us and loves us and came to be with us to rescue us. That's what Christmas is about, church. Before we close, I want to bring us back to the shepherds for a minute. We saw that these shepherds had three huge responsibilities. It was to pursue, protect, and to provide for their sheep. Think about this. These shepherds would stop everything they were doing to pursue and to go after the sheep that went astray. They would protect and rescue their sheep. They would do whatever they had to do to protect the life of that sheep, and they would provide for them. They made sure that they were led and that they had food and water and that they had all they needed. Church, when we think about Jesus this Christmas, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the good shepherd. In the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the good or the great shepherd. And I want us to hear what Jesus says in John chapter 10. Are you ready? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's what Christmas is about. The good shepherd, Jesus, came to pursue us. I love Luke chapter 15 because Jesus tells us that he came for the lost and wandering sheep. Jesus came for the one. Jesus came to seek and to find you. He came to pursue us, church. And just like the sheep, we were the ones, church, who wandered and strayed from God. But Jesus pursued us anyway. And at Christmas, Jesus came to protect us. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. What we deserve because of our sin is death. Spiritual, eternal death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is the free gift. Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the shepherd who came to pursue and to protect and to provide for us. He's the one who came to save you from your sins. And he's the good shepherd who willingly laid down his life for you. He's the one who came to provide for us when what we could not provide on our own. On Christmas, the angel says, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This Savior came to provide for us forgiveness, reconciliation with God, and eternal life with him in heaven. We talk a lot about at Christmas time how we have peace. Wouldn't it be awesome to have that peace within you that when you leave this world, you know you're going to be with the God who made you, who came for you, who died for you, who rose again for you and said, hey, come and follow me. I got you. What a gift, church. We have a Savior, God in the flesh, who came to pursue us, protect us, and provide for us. If you're in here today, if you know Jesus, if you've received this gift of salvation from Jesus, then this Christmas, don't miss this. This Christmas, let's be reminded to praise God. Let's be reminded to worship. Let's be reminded to gather with God's people. Let's be reminded to adore and follow Jesus each and every day. And if you've not, if you've never trusted in Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord and your provider and your pursuer and your protector and your rescuer and your good shepherd, what a great way to celebrate Christmas than today to give your life and to trust in Jesus and become part of the family of God. Don't let Christmas, church, just be another day or another holiday. Let this be the day where you surrender your life to the Lord who loves you and came for you to save you so you could be with him. If you're saved today, let this be the day that you recommit your life to the one who saved you, changed you, and gave you a home in heaven. Let's pray.